Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Red Sox Precap with your hosts, Keaton DeRocher and Shelley Verstrait. Part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Red Sox Precap podcast from Over the Monster, where we recap the series that just ended for the Red Sox, give you everything you need to know about the upcoming series to get prepared. Today, we are reviewing the Nationals and previewing the Blue Jays. But first, you may have noticed that last Friday we did not release a podcast after the last Blue Jays series and before this Nationals series. That was intentional. Shelley and I both believe that Black Lives Matter, and with the Red Sox taking the night off to in an attempt to help draw attention to the racial injustices in this country, we felt fit that we should not be putting out a podcast if that was the case. So we stood in solidarity with the Red Sox and those around the nation who believe that Black Lives Matter. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn for Shelley when I say that. And I don't believe I'm speaking out of turn for most people or all people in the Over the Monster staff in general. So hopefully you believe Black Lives Matters as well and how we can review some baseball. Shelley, it's been a bit since we talked. This was a pretty interesting series, though, here with the Nationals. The Red Sox took 2 out of 3, losing the first one, which was, of course, Max Scherzer's start, which was probably expected, in blowout fashion here. 10-2 was game one. Martin Perez, luck kind of ran out in this one, going 4 innings with 6 earned on 8 hits, only 1 strikeout, no walks, did give up 2 bombs, but that ballooned his ERA to over 4.5. What did you think of Martin Perez going up against the Nationals on Friday?
I mean, coming into the game, I was a bit scared. I mean, I know the Nationals haven't really been hitting. I mean, Turner and Soto and Estrubel Cabrera have been hitting pretty well. Yeah. But I'm still scared whenever I see them, especially with our pitching. I wasn't expecting like a six Ernie from Perez, but I was a bit shocked. But I guess where his ERA stands now, which is 4.58, that's kind of what I kind of expected. So I guess he's just back to where I thought he was going to be.
yeah, regressing to the mean. Scherzer, as you would expect, put up quite an impressive outing. 6 innings, 11 strikeouts, 6 hits, and only 1 earned. Following Perez was Stock, who went 2 innings, gave up 1 run. Then Springs, who gave up 3 runs in 2 innings. And then Josh Taylor, who is the only pitcher to not give up a run. He gave up a hit and a walk, and that was it in his inning. Not a whole lot to take away from this one. This was fresh off the heels of Red Sox making a trade. Workman and Hembry were gone, so we're going to see some interesting bullpen combinations from here on out, this being one of them. Not a whole lot of exciting stuff in there. No homers for the Red Sox in this one. There were 3 for the Nationals. Soto hit his 9th, which is incredibly impressive considering he missed the first, like, 2 weeks of the season, was it?
Yeah.
He's so freaking good.
He is.
Howie Kendrick hit his 2nd, and Josh Harrison hit his 2nd. Man, that Soto kid. He's something special. For the Red Sox, they left 19 on base, but we did have hits from just about everybody in the lineup except J.D. Martinez. So the bats were there. They just couldn't push runs across, which has been basically what we've seen throughout this year, Shelly.
Yep. This year, just like last year, we can put hits together. We just can't put, you know, enough to get someone to, you know, touch home plate.
It's such a weird difference from 2018. Because it felt like even if the Red Sox didn't have anybody on base, they were going to score runs that inning. And now they get like 2 on and nobody out. And it's just like, probably going to hit in a triple play.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. Like 2018, like you said, like you were just watching. You're like, oh, someone's on base. They're going to score. You know, it just felt just inevitable. But hasn't been that way past 2 seasons.
No, 2 for 14 with runners in scoring position. That's not going to do it.
No.
But game 2, things turned around for the old ball club. Kevin Pillar had a home run. Xander Bogaerts had a home run. Interesting news before this start, though. We heard that, I think on like Thursday or so, that Evaldi's start was going to be pushed back. They brought up Chris Mazza. He was going to start. And then on Saturday, we found out that Evaldi's going on the disabled list. So he's going to miss more than 1 start. So starting rotation, I was going to say taking a hit, but it's pretty bad. So I don't know if it really can get any worse, but I guess we'll see. But Mazza did enough. And 2 1/3, gave up 3 runs, 2 walks, only 3 strikeouts. And then the Red Sox bullpen was able to slam the door from there, not allowing any more. Anibal Sanchez has had a pretty bad year. That continued. He went 5 innings, gave up 5 earned, no walks, 4 strikeouts, and 2 home runs, as we mentioned. But, Shelly, what are your expectations for this starting rotation without Nathan Eovaldi? Do you expect, I mean, I don't know if you were expecting anything out of them to begin with, but what do you think the shape of the starting pitching looks like without Nathan Eovaldi?
It's just really bad because I think Perez is probably the only one who might be able to go 4 or 5 innings in a start, in my opinion. I mean, maybe Godley maybe could do it if he's going well, but I think it's just going to be a lot of these 2 and 3 inning stints from these guys. And hopefully it doesn't like really wear down anybody. I just think that we're just in for just, you know, when you throw up like some confetti and it just all sprinkles down, that's just kind of how the pitching's going to be.
Yeah, we are, a handful of games over the halfway point at this point now. So home stretch. But as we saw in today's game, maybe there'll be some exciting things for the futures to pay attention to, just to see how things shake out, which we will get to that in a moment. But Xander Bogaerts had himself a day, 3 for 4 with 3 RBIs. Verdugo went 2 for 4 with the multi-hit game. Pillar, 2 for 3 with a multi-hit game. Again, not great with runners in scoring position, but they didn't have a whole lot of chances, surprisingly. 1 for 6 but they got all their runs. All the runs in this game came pretty early, and the final score was actually set after the fourth. And then both teams bullpens cruised from there. Following Mazza was Darwinson Hernandez, who only went two-thirds of an inning, but did strike out both of his outs, allowing a walk. He has not allowed a run yet in his handful of appearances. Phillips Valdez followed with an inning and two-thirds, two walks, three strikeouts, no runs. Austin Bryce, an inning and a third, no runs. Josh Osich, two-thirds of an inning, no runs. Ryan Brazier, who got the win, one and a third, no runs. And then Matt Barnes picked up his third save of the year. That was a lot of guys and a lot of innings to get through a game. I guess, thankfully, they right now have a lot of guys they can rotate through. But that is going to be a bit of a struggle if that's how it kind of continues from game to game here.
Yeah.
Big things from the starters are needed. And in our third game of the series, where the Red Sox won 9-5, that is exactly what Zach Godley gave us and what at least he was able to record it out in the fifth inning. And he is the first starting pitcher besides Perez and Evaldi on this team to record it out in the fifth inning. not great things. Or I guess not the overall line was not great, even though he was able to get into the fifth. 4 2/3, 5 earned on 8 hits, only 3 strikeouts, 1 walk. To me, that's kind of what you should be expecting from Godley at this point. I don't know if you have any other thoughts on Godley's performance.
That's kind of what you expect. I mean, his first outing with the Red Sox, he was looking pretty good. But now we're just with the old Zach Godley where if you know, the hitting is going well, he'll be okay. If you know what I'm saying, like if our offense is doing things, he'll be okay. But this is just kind of par for the course.
And then again, after Godley, the bullpen shut it down. Josh Osich, who got credit for the win, an inning and a third, no runs. Josh Taylor, an inning, no runs. Ryan Brazier, an inning, no runs. Austin Bryce, an inning, no runs. Red Sox jumped on Austin Voth early, getting to him for 5 within the first 2 innings, chasing him from the ball game, and then adding another 3 in the third that really kind of put it out of reach. Rafael Devers had himself a day here. 2 home runs for him. Xander Bogaerts also hit his 8th, and Bobby Dalbec, in his major league debut, hit a nice oppo shot. And that was what I was referring to with some young things to look forward to the future. Now with Mitch Moreland having been traded, Bobby Dalbec should be getting a whole lot of at-bats so we can kind of see what the youngster has in store. What did you think of Dalbec's debut today?
I was really happy with, you know, his at-bats. His first one, he did strike out. He made it through like 5 or 6 pitchers or something like that. So that was nice to see. But you know, he got his first major league hit was a home run, and he got another hit as well. So he's, you know, hitting 500, you know, that's definitely gonna keep up.
Not sustainable.
Definitely. I was really pleased with, his ABs.
Yeah, hits galore for the Red Sox today. They hammered out 15, a 2-for-4 day, as you said, from Dalbec, 2-for-4 from Pilecki, 2-for-5 from Pilar, 2-for-4 from Bogaerts, 4-for-4 for Devers, who over the past 2 weeks has actually kind of started to turn things around, slashing around .300 over the past 2 weeks. So he's had several games with multiple hits now, and hopefully he will continue to ride that throughout the second half of this season here. For Washington, Josh Harrison hit another home run, and Eric Thames hit a home run. So overall, the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Nationals, and they are still, they are now not at the bottom of the American League, and they are half a game ahead of the Los Angeles Angels, whose game I do not believe has finished today. I actually don't know if that's the case. Probably should have looked that up. Anyway... not in the cellar of the AL anymore, but not expecting a whole lot going forward.
Yeah.
Now, Shelley, who did you think was your MVP for the series?
I'm going to have to go with with Xander Bogaerts. Like, he just totally killed it in all three games. I think he's the MVP.
Totally agree. Went 1-for-3 the first night and then had multi-hit games and home runs in the next two. He had himself quite a series. I'd love to, you know, give it to a pitcher one of these days. I just don't have a lot of confidence that that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
Alrighty. We will take a quick break, come back, and we will preview series against the Blue Jays.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, looking ahead to the Blue Jays, we have a doubleheader on Friday. Did I go way ahead?
I think you did, yeah.
We got the Braves first. That's it. Not the Blue Jays. And then a five-game series with the Blue Jays. Whoopsie. Well, all right. Well, that's even worse. All right, so the Braves are currently first in the AL East. They are killing it. And also potentially rumored to add another pitcher to their already really good pitching staff in Mike Clevenger. We'll see where he ends up landing, but Brave firmly in the talk there. This team is really good. Nick Markakis is having a typical year where he's just hitting the crap out of the ball. He's hitting 320. Travis d'Arnaud is also hitting 320. Freddie Freeman, after returning from a bout with COVID, has knocked five homers, hitting 307. Dansby Swanson is having that breakout that some people predicted he would have with four homers, four steals. He's hitting over 300. Tyler Flowers is hitting over 300. Alex Jackson is hitting 286. Marcell Ozuna's got eight homers, and he's hitting 278. I mean, this is the type of lineup that I'm just kind of expecting to feast on the Red Sox pitching, especially without Eovaldi. And I guess the last one is Perez, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. This is not going to be a fun series to watch. It's still going to be a lot of runs, but not for our team.
Yeah, Max Fried, who the Red Sox see in game one. So I guess I'll just run through all of the matchups here. We got Colton Brewer versus Max Fried, Kyle Hart versus Ian Anderson, Martin Perez versus Robbie Erlin. That's not a great matchup. I mean, the hitting versus the Red Sox pitching is not a great matchup, and their pitching against the Red Sox hitting, also not a great matchup. Max Fried is a potential Cy Young candidate right now with 1.35 ERA. Ian Anderson just got called up and smoked the Yankees, going six innings with only giving up one run, six strikeouts. And Robbie Erlin is not doing well. Maybe the Red Sox can pull out that last game if Martin Perez kind of reverts back to his form from his pregame. But Mike Soroka also pitching well. And then if they add Clevenger, that's just adding some fuel to the fire there. The Braves just really kind of have this matchup in terms of their lineup and just their pitching staff. I don't have a great feeling about this one. But the Red Sox aren't competing, so maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah. At least, you know, we get to see some fun Braves guys like Acuna and Max Fried's pitching well. So at least we can watch some really fun and exciting pitching. So, it's just, I don't think it's going to go well for our team.
Nope. But that's right. We're not competing.
Exactly.
However, What do you think? What is your prediction for this game? Do you think they'll be able to pull out that last one because of the pitching matchup? Or are you thinking that Perez is now kind of regressing to the mean and that one will be a struggle as well?
I do think that we will have a chance because while I do think that Perez is kind of like his ERA now is kind of what it should be. As we saw before, there are times where he can really get going. So I think that we'll be able to take that last one unless, you know, the Braves, you know, trade for a pitcher and that's like Mike Clevinger or something. And then we'll be screwed.
Yeah, baseball's weird. I feel weird predicting a sweep because the Red Sox bats have been pretty hot.
Yeah.
The past couple of series. So I think they'll probably be able to take one out of two, but not expecting a lot of great things from this series.
Yeah.
Who is your prediction for series MVP?
I'm going to go with Devers. He's been kind of putting some good games and good swings, good ABs together. And I think that he's going to take it from Xander Bogaerts this series.
Yeah, that's mine. My guess is Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Both of those guys are just hammering the crap out of the ball right now, and both of them have several multi-hit games over the last 10 games, so it'd be nice to see them keep that going, and that's definitely kind of where I think things are going to land.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. We will be back with you again on Wednesday night to preview the 5-game series with the Blue Jays with a doubleheader on Friday. That is a lot of games against the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Last time, was that a 6-game series? They have 2 doubleheaders against the Yankees. Or no, that was a 5-game series, right? And then they lost all 5.
Yeah.
That was a bummer. Well, hopefully things will be different this time around. You can find both of us at Over the Monster, where we've contributed some roundtables and a bunch of great content on that site. Just in general, you can also find us both on Twitter. You can find me at The Spoken Keats, and you can find Shelly at ShellyV_643. Thanks for listening, and we will be with you on Thursday morning.